Well, you know, we are coming up to the beginning of a new year again. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Just seems like we just got past the last one. Just they come flying by. To kids like Sam's age, they don't come by fast enough. To us, they just go by way too fast. And we're like, can't believe this. And you know, a lot of people start to make New Year's resolutions. True? What do you think the number one New Year's resolution is? Always that. All you have to do is look on TV right now and you see all these commercials for, you know, for losing weight, getting in shape machines, or for gym memberships. You know, this is where they do all their big drives. And it's funny because I have a friend that owns and manages one of the larger ones over in our area, and he says that they sell about 300% of their capacity, knowing full well that, you know, maybe one out of three will continue to keep going after the first couple of weeks. So, yeah, he says they make great money on memberships that never show up. You know, they start out and then they fizzle off. And, you know, the second one is to make more money. But I'm wondering, has anybody here made a New Year's resolution at all? Or have you finally made a resolution to make no more resolutions? Well, you know, I got to thinking about it. Making a New Year's resolution is not bad. And you know, exercising is not a bad one either. How I came about this was in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6. And it says here, in the King James Version, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And you might be saying, "Brother Marty, what in the world does that have to do with a New Year's resolution of, let's say, getting in shape?" Well, if you read around that verse, the author of the book of Hebrews talked about two individuals who had great faith in the Bible, and one being Enoch and the other being Noah. And in the book of Genesis, I won't have you go to it, but in the book of Genesis, both of these men walked with God daily. And you know, isn't there a kind of a new fad out there right now, the saying that you need to keep count of how many steps that you take every day, and you need to walk over 10,000 steps? They make these monitors now that you can put on your arm that figure out how many times you swing it, and what's it called? A pedometer or something like that? It keeps track of how many steps that you've taken, and the goal is to walk at least 10,000 steps daily. And I got to thinking about that. I'm going, you know, well, that does very well for your physical, but walking with God also is good for our spiritual health. And shouldn't that, as Christians, be one of our New Year's resolutions, to get closer to God, to please him? I mean, the last thing I want to do is to do things in my life that doesn't please God. Anybody been on the side where you feel like you've been the target of God's wrath? Yeah. I take that snicker as a, uh-huh. I know I have. I have felt that way a few times in my life. And it wasn't that God sought me out to punish me. But you know what? The scripture says that the Lord chastens those that he loves. And believe me, I know my dad chastened me, and he did so very strongly. And I know that God also chastens those he loves, and he also does it very strongly, and he does it also very firmly. But he does just enough. He doesn't overdo it. And so I realized, after being chastened so many times, that it is better to be in God's good graces than it is to not be in God's good graces. It's a much nicer place to be in. You just feel that things go better in your life. And so as I came across this scripture, it said that without faith, it's impossible to please him. And I got to thinking, how strong truly is our faith? Is our faith strong enough? Is it like that of Enoch? And is it strong enough such as Noah's faith? I mean, if God came to you and said for you to do something totally bizarre, would you question it? Or would you do as Noah did and just say, "Okay, Lord, I'll do it"? I know most of us would probably question it. You know, sometimes God will put something on my heart, and I don't mean to pick at my wife, but I have to use her since she is the most prominent figure in my life, with me all the time. Sometimes God will put something on my heart, a certain way that it's supposed to be done, and I'll let her know, not that it's from God, but I'll let her know I need to do this. Well, why? Why don't you do it this way? And I typically just bite my tongue and say, believe me, I know what I'm doing. I have to do it this way. And see, even somebody so close to me doesn't understand. But sometimes I think about how that is in our relationship in the Lord. Sometimes God might put it in our hearts to do something. We go, how come? Why? That doesn't make any sense at all. Well, of course it's not going to make sense to us, is it? God doesn't do things that make sense to us. If it made sense, it wouldn't be from God. Because God makes the things that seem senseless become sensible. I mean, 40 years after Noah built the ark and the rains came, all of a sudden people went, oh, hey, that guy was smarter than we thought. My brother's a great ham radio operator. He loves ham radio operating. I would much rather listen to the radio, something I can sing along to. I can't sing along to a ham radio. You get in his car and you hear da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, and all this stuff. And I would rather listen to something that's a little bit more melodic, shall we say. But, you know, we laugh sometimes because he's the only one in the family that's into this. And he also likes to go down, you know, take his RV out, and he can go out and be completely off the grid and not dependent on anything. And I got to thinking about it, but you know, if times got tough and there was a loss of communication, can't pick up the cell phone and talk to anybody, and the power grid went down, my brother is prepared for any and all of that stuff to happen. And I have to think that how much that had to have taken place with Noah. A flood? Are you kidding? An ark? We are hundreds of miles from the nearest ocean, nearest body of water. And you want to build a ship, clear. And not just a boat, a ship, a huge vessel. And I once found out, what's the difference between a boat and a ship? And I think it was Brother Bill that told, was it you that told me? I think it was Brother Bill, and he said, a ship is considered a ship when another boat can't fit in. How does that go? Okay, a boat can be set on top of a ship, but a ship, well, it could be set on top of a boat, but you wouldn't have the boat left. You have wood. Okay, you have planks of wood. So it's a much larger vessel, and I can't even imagine, you know, what they had to do to keep this upright. But the reason Noah understood exactly what God wanted him to do was that each and every day, Noah walked with God. Now, is anybody here, do you guys go on walks at all? Anybody here go on a walk with somebody you love or somebody you like? When you do that, do you absolutely not talk to each other along the way? Sometimes if you're in a bad mood and you're trying to walk and get away from the person and that person's chasing after you. My ex-wife, man, she had shorter legs than I did, but I tell you what, those legs could fly a walking. And I remember one time she was mad at me and I was mad at her and we were on a walk, and I have never gone about a mile walk so fast in my life. I think we would have broke the Olympic record. But, you know, when you walk with people, you talk with them. And people say, well, Brother Marty, how do you go on a walk with God today? Well, you can walk through the scriptures, can't you? Can you not walk through the stories of the Old Testament? Can you not? But even if you don't even do that, if you have those stories in your heart and in your mind, can you not go for a walk and you just feel God surrounding you? It pleases God when we walk with him. It, number one, gets us in better shape physically, but it helps keep our spirit alive by touching God, being there with him. There's no better way to get in touch with God than to go for a walk with him. No better way. You ever gone back through some of the old stories in the Bible and realized there's more to the story than you thought of in the first place? I mean, it wasn't until about a year ago if somebody asked me, he said, well, how many animals did Noah put in the ark? And I would have said two of each kind. Because that's what I grew up knowing, and I've read the story a couple times, but it finally hit me as I read it about the fourth or fifth time that, well, yeah, there were two of every type of animal that were unclean, but of the clean animals, there were seven. And I'm going, wow, Lord. You know, and it wasn't until I got later in life that I realized that there are only a couple of things openings that happened within the ark. There was one door that opened up to, or one window that opened up to heaven, and one door. And that door, God closed the door, and then God opened it back up. So there's a lot of things about that story that by walking back through the scriptures and walking with God, that God started to reveal to me. But then it gets into saying, without faith it's impossible. He says that you've got to come to him. He says, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Some people will say, well, I wish I could just prove the existence of God. Let me make one statement. If people could prove God, he wouldn't be big enough. Some things are just too big to prove. It's just like saying, I wish I could figure out what the last number is. There is no last number. What's the first number? Is it zero? Is it negative one? Is it negative whatever? As the song that Fernando once said to us, it goes as far as the east is from the west. It just goes and goes and goes. Have you ever thought to yourself, what's at the end of space? Yeah, could be. I don't know. There's only certain amount of things that our minds have been given the ability to understand. And if we could rationalize and reason and prove God, then he's no bigger than our concepts. But the Bible does show us that there are three things that we can do and show somebody else that will prove the existence of God. And the very first one we find is that, here it is, just by the nature of the earth proves the existence of God. It says in Romans 1:20, it says, For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without cause. Have you ever been out in the forest, driving along by the ocean, and look around and say, how can somebody not believe in God? I was watching a thing on TV this morning about dinosaurs. I do not discount that dinosaurs lived. I know there are theologians, ministers that say there is no such thing as dinosaurs. Well, when you have the skeleton of dinosaurs, it's pretty tough to say, no, they didn't exist. I believe that dinosaurs once roamed. But where are they now? Who created the dinosaur? And scientists try to prove away the fact by science. And my question to them is simple. Okay, who made science? There are so many things that if you ask a scientist, most scientists believe in a supreme being. Because there are just too many things in the way the earth is shaped and formed that unless it was all done to this certain way, that there would be no life form here on earth at all. If our earth was 1/4 of 1 degree different on its tilt than it is, we would either live in an ice age or it would be too hot. If the earth was 1 mile closer to the sun or 1 mile further away, we wouldn't be able to have life. They say that the dinosaurs were destroyed by, what was it, a meteorite? Probably a meteorite that hit and destroyed all of earth. How did life form again? They say that animals came up out of the water and started, walking. Why do they not do that today? Has it not been plenty of time that obviously we could see some sort of animal coming back up out of the water again? It's been, 7,000, 15,000 years that we have historical knowledge of upright man walking, talking. Why is this not happening again? So realize that just by looking around and seeing the very nature that God has given here on this earth, he's just not in overhead projectors. That just the very nature of this earth that God has given to us, that we can look out and see the majestic power and the awesomeness of God. The second thing that God gave us to help prove him is our own conscience. God has given every man and woman some form of a conscience. Whether they know the laws of God, whether they're written on their hearts or not, there is a certain moral compass that man abides by. Does he not? Are all people that don't kill other people moral and Christian people? Are all people that don't swear taking the Lord's name in vain, are they all Christian upright people? There's a lot of very good people out there in the world that probably lead a more what we would call Christian life than Christians because they go by a certain moral compass. Paul said he would not have known sin had there not been the law. In Romans 2, 14 and 15, it says, "For when the Gentiles, which don't have the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves." They've got a conscience. God has given every man a moral compass in which to go by, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. God gives us that feeling inside each and every time. When you're doing something and you don't feel like it's something that's the right thing to do, do you not get this little check inside of you like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be doing this? Even our kids, even a small infant has a moral compass. They know when they tilt that glass over and it falls on the ground and it breaks, do they not? Like, I did something wrong. True? When you said, no, Sammy, no, Sammy, no, Sammy, boom, they know, because there's a conscience that God has placed inside them. But the best part and the strongest one gives us the most proof that we need. It's stated there in that verse. Let me go back up to it here since it's not up there anymore. He says that he is a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. So here's what we do. We put his truth to the test. We put that to the test, knowing that if we walk after God, if we walk with God, if we listen to his word, if we do his word, if we stay obedient unto his word, the things that we desire, the things that he tells us to do, we can put it to the test and know that it will come true. When God had me come to this church and he gave me a message, I think the second time I preached here, that this church was operating in an acceptable will of God, but it wasn't the perfect will of God, and the fact that it had three or four ministers, and so it was kind of like a four-headed freak. Anybody here that put four heads or three heads on top of your shoulders, would you not look a little different and scare somebody? If all of a sudden, you know, what movie was that? Men in Black, where the one guy had this, boop, this head that would come out, and true, wasn't it that one? You like, first time you saw one, that's a little strange looking. That's why there's those characters in the sci-fi movies. They have more than one head. Well, that's kind of what the church was when God had me come here. It had more than one head. And God told me to give the message that it is operating under the acceptable, but God wants us to operate under his perfect will. He wants us to be in perfect alignment with what he wants. And he put on my heart that somebody will be coming to the church that would become a full-time pastor. I had a strong, conscious feeling that it was me. I was hoping it wasn't. But I knew that God was sending somebody. And when he gives you those truths, you can put them to the test. Because what happened in this case was the very next Sunday, one of the other people that was doing the service said they no longer could do it. So now the church was down to a two-headed beast. And within about 4 months, the final one said, you know what? The Lord has placed you here. This is where you're supposed to be. I need to bow out. And what happened was the things that the Lord put on my heart, because I listened to him and walked with him and talked with him, and he showed me, I put it to the test, and it came true. Another time that I could think of was when I was fellowshipping with my mom and my stepdad, and it was their later years in life, and I'm going away, and God put on my heart, he says, your mom's going to pass away before your dad. I went, Lord, I don't need to know that. You know, nobody wants to know when, you know, who's going to pass first. You just want to love them both. But he was telling me that so that I might be able to sit and fellowship more with them, get together with them more. He didn't tell me when they were going to pass. He just said that this one would pass before the other. So as my as my stepdad had a hip replacement, it didn't go well, and he's in and out of the hospital, in and out, because they put the hip in, they take the hip out. Put the hip in, take the hip out. Because if you don't have a hip, you can't get around. Because he would always form an infection. And so as we're sitting there with him the final time in the hospital, and then the doctor comes in and says, I hate to inform you, but upon doing these tests, we've also found cancer. And it's not going to be long. And at this time, my mom's still at home, doing fine. And I come out of the hospital, and I'm going, Lord, I know what you told me. I know it. When God speaks to you, sometimes you question it. But sometimes you also know when you know that you know. And I knew what he put on my heart. Because I had told my wife. I knew it so much that I told my wife. And I think I even told my mom. My other mom. And now it confuses everybody. I never wanted to call her Roseanne. Because I always thought that was disrespectful. She was my dad's wife. And if she's my dad's wife, she's my mom. And I go, Lord, I know. I know this. How can this be? How can I now get word that he's passing away? And guess what happened? I think you know. That very day, she gets taken to the hospital. And she has an infection in the blood. She's dehydrated and she has what your mom had, John. And we thought, I had no idea that this infection was life-threatening. I still, you know, had no idea. But the truth of what God told me came, it was put to the test. Because they bring her out of intensive care and they put her back into regular care. And she seems to be doing fine. We're talking with her the night before. We've got her granddaughter in front of her, and she seems to be doing good. And the next day, she lays down to go to sleep, and she's gone. God just puts on your heart, he says, I told you. See, what I tell you is true. If I give you a word, it's truth. And it's because we walk and we talk with him. Does it please God to have to give us that type of news? No. But he gave me that news as a warning. There are things that we have that we experience with God. When he comes into our heart and we walk with him daily, he's not going to just say and say, I got a secret. What is it? Oh, if I told you, it wouldn't be a secret. He's not going to do that kind of stuff to you. He's going to reveal things to you when you walk with him. Lest Enoch had walked with God, God would have never revealed the things that he did there. Lest Noah had not walked with God, he never would have made him the patriarch, really, of righteousness. He was the last man standing. Had it not been for Noah, his family would not have stood. His sons would have had died in peril. But because of the faith of one, there was humankind to continue on. Let's get to where we walk with God daily. Talk with him. Hold his hand. How nice it is when I'm taking a walk with my wife, though. You know, we actually hold hands. I don't care if I have to slow down or she has to speed up. Or when you walk with your grandson or granddaughter, how nice it is when they grab your hand. Doesn't that make you feel good? Grab the hand of God. Walk with him. Walk in his footsteps. Get to know him better. Then when you come before him, he will reveal those truths unto you. And you can put those truths to the test. It says, look not to reason's arguments. If God you seek to find, look only to his holy word, for sin has made us blind. Look to God. He'll reveal all of that unto you.